to hear little Johnny Cash singing a song by Jude Johnstone.
I have been ungrateful, I've been unwise, restless from the cradle, now I realize it's so hard to see the rainbow through glasses dark as these. Maybe I'll be able from now on my knees. Oh, I am weak. Oh, I know I am vain. Take this weight from me. Let my spirit be unchained. Old man, swearing at the sidewalk, I'm overcome. Seems that we both forgotten to go home. Oh, have I seen an angel? Oh, have I seen a ghost? Where's that rock of ages when I need it most? Oh, I am weak. Oh, I know I am vain. Take this weight from me. Let my spirit be unchained.
Johnny Cash on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio. That's Unchained. And that is by my guest, Jude Johnstone, who's in the studio with us tonight. And I'm so glad that you could pop by, Jude.
Thank you so much.
Jude is well-loved on the Central Coast. She seems to know just about everyone and has recorded many albums with local talent. She lived in Cambria for many years, but she's based in Nashville, and Jude is best known as a songwriter. She's written songs recorded by, as you heard just now, Johnny Cash, Emmylou Harris, Trisha Yearwood, Stevie Nicks, Bonnie Raitt, and many others, and she's in town for a concert this coming Saturday at 7 o'clock at Painted Sky Studios in Cambria with Bob and Wendy supporting. And she's here in the studio with me tonight to chat about her music. I gotta say, Jude, that I prefer your version of Unchained on your album. I'm not gonna play it tonight.
I should hope so.
I'm gonna play it next week.
My version, of course, is the definitive version where I did write the song. You know, the thing about all that is that, you know, I'm so fortunate to have had these kind of icons record my songs. And don't get me wrong, I mean, of course, that's a tremendous honor. But just because you're incredibly famous, it doesn't mean that you pull it off every time or that you do, you know, the writer justice or anything else. You know, I'm often disappointed when people do my songs.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it paid for my kids' college education for many years. It absolutely doesn't anymore because everything has changed. So I don't really get paid for songwriting anymore. But in the old days, it was a big thing, all those records. Not Johnny's, because he didn't really sell any records, but it won the Grammy, so it was a major feather in my cap. But the other ones, Bonnie and Emmy Lou and those people, you know, they sold, Trisha particularly, Bette Midler, they sold so many records, you know, I lived handsomely on that for many years until the industry, the bottom fell right out.
So what is it that changed the way we're
the internet?
Yeah.
I mean, it started with like Napster and then it grew from there. And these places, Spotify and all these, these internet platforms just, you know, they sell their, they let you listen to any record you want to hear anytime for like $10 a month. And people don't realize that the writers, do not get paid that. Only those companies get paid for it, and it should be illegal. But it's too big. The internet is too big, and it's too big a machine to stop. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason that there was no way to stop it. People like T-Bone Burnett, very powerful figures, you know, went to Congress and, you know, have made great, you know, grandiose, fabulous speeches about the wrongness of this. But there is no way to turn it back. So mostly people like me in that under tier, you know, not that can go play even like at the level of like City Wineries and, you know, get paid, you know, a few thousand bucks or whatever for a performance. People at my level that don't have that kind of following, we're just dead in the water. You know, there's no more royalties for my album cuts, you know, and so then I just have to try and get more songwriting students and, you know, create really a different, a totally different way of making a living.
Yeah. So you're in Nashville now, and is that your main thing, is teaching people how to write songs?
Yes. Mm. Yeah. And it's not enough. It's not enough. But I started collecting Social Security early. I'm trying to balance it out. And then, of course, I'm trying to get back a little bit into, which is a hard thing to do, television placement. Film is very tough, but I've had a lot of TV placement success in the past when I had more of a team kind of helping me, and I don't anymore. And so getting with, you know, people that do that work, music supervisors, they're very powerful. Usually young people, too. They're very powerful, and it's hard to get them on board with you. And so it's really personal. And so you have to literally meet somebody in person that takes a shine to you and wants to get your stuff on TV. And, it, you know, it's tricky. It's tricky. And recently I've met somebody really marvelous that I think is going to make a difference for me, and I think I can make a difference for her. But you know, this is personal stuff, and it's about relationships, which is the way I grew up in Los Angeles. It was about personal relationships.
Right.
And it very much is less that way now, as you might expect. You know, everybody's just on their phone, and they're on their, you know, like, it's very, you know, it's not very personal, and people don't just go to lunch the way they did back in Hollywood when I was growing up. My daughter has a whole other thing to navigate through.
Yeah, so we've got a song queued up with Ray singing with you on one of your albums. Ray Duncan, she's in Nashville too.
Yes.
She's like really close by.
She's right down the street. Yeah, we eat dinner every other night, and I take my bicycle to her place. If like the plumbing is blowing up, then I rush over and fix it for her.
That's awesome.
It's true.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's talk about Ray in just a minute, but first I want to play this song, and I want to get a little bit of a feel from you about this song. It's called Girl Unafraid. It's from your 2013 album Shatter. Girl Afraid. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the time, most of my albums, I mean, the very, very personal, my records, but that one was very much about my marriage coming to a close or on its way to that. And so just talking about sort of being alone, you know, for the first time in a long time or like that. I'm just a girl afraid. You know, I'm afraid about this transition, this next moment, how am I going to, like, I don't even know how to live by myself, you know.
Yes.
So it's just a song about that. It's one of my Celtic songs. I write a lot of Celtic songs.
I noticed that.
Yeah, yeah. At least one or so on all of my albums. I come from a Scottish heritage, and so it's in my blood. I never listened to that kind of music in my life, but I know how to write it, and it's in my veins.
Just kind of comes out.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah,
but I do. I love that kind of. I love that kind of music. So this was one of them.
Well, then let's listen to "Girl Afraid" from Jude Johnstone's album "Shatter," and the other voice that you're going to hear on this album is her daughter Rae Duncan, right here on KCBX.
I'm just a girl afraid, afraid of what I didn't do, afraid of where we're going to, afraid of all the dreams that we misled. I'm just a girl afraid. When the hurt got in the way, feeling all the promises betrayed. I'm just a girl afraid, girl afraid is hard to love. She's dark and complicated. If you hang just a girl afraid, I'm just a girl
a beautiful song from my guest, Jude Johnstone, and singing with her on that track, Girl Afraid, from her album Shatter, was her daughter, Rae Duncan, both of them living in Nashville right now, and making a go of it. You're still making a go of it. You've been making a go of it for a long time, haven't you, Jude?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I did so well for so many years, and it is strange to wake up and be like 62 years old and have to sort of, you know, realize you've got to move to a different apartment. You know, you have to downsize because, you know, you got to make a little more money. And they just jacked the rent up again, $300 a month more or whatever. And it's like, wow, you've priced me out. I got to move. Mm-hmm. And my kid's like, it's totally okay. You love to redecorate, you know. It's I'll help you. You know, we'll move down over there where you found this new place. You know, I mean, it's not something you expect in the later part of your life. It absolutely is not. And but I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have my kid there. We've been a tremendous force for each other. You know, I'm there for her, and she's there for me. And that's the biggest reason I'm still there, is because she's living there, and she's giving it the best she's got. She's trying to hang on, trying to pay her rent and have a part-time job and do all the things that people do that are trying to make a living in music.
So she grew up in Cambria.
Yeah, she was born in the house that I spent the morning sitting as if I still owned it.
Yeah.
On my bench in front of it.
So I called you yesterday and you answered the phone. You were sitting on the porch of that old house in Cambria. Did you say it's the oldest house in Cambria?
It is, 1865. That house, I lived there for 23 years when I raised my kids there. Ray was born in that house. And it just happens that now, like, some realtors bought it or something for a few years ago, and it's just a bi-month only vacation rental. And, you know, nobody rented it this month. And I just walked in, opened the gate, and just went and sat on my bench and looked at the tree that I planted and had, like, a spiritual moment, an hour or so, just sitting at my home.
Oh, man, that's nice.
And my daughter, Emma, called me from Brooklyn while I was sitting there. Not just you, but my daughter called me and needed me, talk her through something. And I said, guess where I am, you know? And I showed her, and she went, okay. They're very comforted, the two of them, that no one lives in the house. Mm-hmm. Only people that are passing through.
But, you know, when you were telling me that story on the phone yesterday, it felt like I was listening to you talk a song. Do moments like that inspire songs in you?
Absolutely. You know, of course. I think I've written about, you know, pretty much everything you can imagine, right? Every kind of pain that you can imagine. I've not written a song about, you know, my old house yet. I wrote a song that's incredible, like sort of very painful, called In This House, about that. But that was a more emotional, not about the house itself. So I have not yet written a song about the main street, the music house. I wrote a cookbook, though, and the cookbook was called Music House Recipes. Mm. So, and it had pictures of the inside of the music house and my daughters, and that was what that was all about. It was a gift to them so they'd remember it always. But my daughter, Ray, said, I sent her some pictures, you know, here I am, I'm sitting here, you know, because I knew it might be too painful, but I thought, let's see what happens. And she said, I'm still really mad that they cut down Margaret, which is a 100-year-old rose in front of my house. But it does look like they're keeping it pretty nice. But I'm still really mad about Margaret.
Well, you know, you mentioned you've written a lot about pain. You write a lot of slow ballads, especially songs about heartbreak. Why do you feel it is that you lean in that direction?
Because I was born sad. Just was. I was born like a teeny little, like, sort of four-year-old philosopher, you know. I don't know why. I love the sound of I've written jazz records and, you know, all kinds of music, but it turns out that, like, the people that record my songs always pick the sad ones too. It's not like my fault.
I noticed.
It's just that they really, you know, I had a thing, you know. I do that. Maybe I do that better than I do any of the other things. I don't really know. I don't really know. But they always lean toward those, regardless of what else is on the project, you know. I'm the same way. I mean, my favorite writers, like Randy Newman or, say, Tom Waits or, you know, Mark Knopfler, different writers that I really like. You know, my favorite song on any of those records is going to be the saddest, most down to it, you know, heart-wrenching thing that they've got. It just always is. It's just because I love the truth. I love it when people get all the way down to the essence of, you know, what life's all about. And, you know, you can't do that in like a ditty. And I just, you know, I like dramas. I don't like, you know, comedies. That's not my thing. It's just not my thing. I like listening to comedians, like on YouTube. If I'm really sad, that helps me get out of my sadness. But I don't really want to watch a film that's a comedy. I would rather watch a drama.
Yeah. Well, this next song that we're going to hear is a perfect example of what we're talking about. This is Bonnie Raitt singing one of your songs, Wounded Heart. Talk about this song and set it up for us.
Well, Wounded Heart was his song. I had given Bonnie Raitt many songs. I've known her since I was about 18. Not very well, but I knew her. And I had sent her songs, and she'd never done one of them. And I sent her this one, and I didn't hear back. And I felt absolutely certain that she could not have heard it. I really believe there's no way she'll hear this and not do it. And so Trisha Yearwood was doing a little show at the Troubadour, pre-Grammy show, for some people that were nominated, she being one of them. And it was my birthday one year, and Trisha and I were in conversation, and she said, you know, Bonnie Raitt's coming down to that Troubadour show. She's going to be in the audience. And you know, you had mentioned you wanted to talk to her or something. And I said, okay. And I got on a train from Cambria. I said to my husband, I know it's my birthday, but I need to go to the Troubadour tonight and hand this cassette tape to Bonnie Raitt, because I know she hasn't heard this song. And so I did. I went down there, and I sat in the way back, and the place was packed, and Bonnie Raitt came in with another friend of mine, and there were like two seats next to me, and they sat down right next to me. And she saw me, and she went, you know what? You sent me a tape not long ago, and I was getting ready to go out on tour, and I couldn't find it. I never could find that tape again, so I never heard that song. And I said, that's okay, because I happen to have it with me. And she cracked up, you know, and I gave it to her. And a couple of nights later, she called me and said, I have to record that song.
Okay, well, here it is on KCBX, The Road Home. It's Wounded Heart, Bonnie Raitt, singing a song by Jude Johnstone, who's here with me tonight. And she's doing a show this coming Saturday at Painted Sky Studios in Cambria.
So I'll take my heart.
Oh, man. She really, really makes that one sing, doesn't she?
Her voice is just an extension of her unbelievable kindness and humanity. I don't know how else to describe Bonnie Raitt. She's one of the greatest human beings I've ever known.
Well, that's good to hear, because I've never met her in person, but just from seeing her so many times in concert and the feeling she has with the audience feels that way to me. She just feels like a kind, wonderful, sweet, generous person.
Yeah, she's beyond. She really is. She's been, I think, the most important person as far as a supporter of mine. You know, she's taken me out for 4 different tours with her throughout my time. That's a tremendous thing to do, because she, of course, can get anybody she feels like getting, and she has people like Mavis Staples and, you know, Lyle Lovett, and she'll find a way. If I have a new album, she'll say, you want to go out and do 4 or 5 shows with me? And it's like, good God, man, what kind of a, you know, it's a, really, you just bow down and go, yes, Ms. Raitt, I will be coming along.
I'm with Jude Johnstone, who wrote that song, Wounded Heart, that Bonnie Raitt sang from her album Silver Lining. And Jude is playing this Saturday at 7 o'clock at Painted Sky Studios in Cambria. Bob and Wendy are supporting, and it's just going to be a really nice concert. It's a great space. It's just a really sweet space, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And you've recorded in there, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, many times. Yeah. With Steve Krimmel, who had the place for many, many years, and Steve has, you know, engineered and worked with me on I don't even know how many of my 8 albums, but he's had a hand in, you know, probably almost all of them. And so as it turned out, so he finally retired, and he and his wife moved to Hawaii, where they live. And so this was going to be the first show I would ever do without him, because he and Victoria always served the refreshments, and it was just like this, you know, just this incredible moment. You know, I love coming back and playing that space. So I came back. I was coming back, and I told Bob Liebman, my cello player, Bob and Wendy, I said, this is going to be a little bit hard for me. You know, this is going to be tough, you know, without Steve and all. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'll get back with you in a few minutes. I might have something to tell you. And I went, what? You're going to leave me hanging? Like, what? It's like, are you having a grandchild or something? You know, I said, what is it? And he was like, no, nothing like that. And he came back and he said, so Steve is doing your sound. He's in California and he is coming to do our sound. And, you know, I literally, you know, I did. I teared up.
Mm. Oh, man, that's really special. That's really special. And so he's had a hand in your albums. I love going through the credits on your albums, because it's
oh, they're these, funny, aren't they? Because they all sing on them. They all sing on my records for nothing, like Bonnie and play.
Yeah, you've got guitar. Jackson Brown doing backup, Bonnie Raitt doing back, Trisha Yearwood doing backup on your songs. But then you have
Emmy.
You know, you have people who are super talented who live in our area. You know, and Bob is one of them who shows up on your albums. And
Bob's on. Yeah, I put Bob, I think on the last record, he plays on every single song. As he always says, there's always room for cello, right? Yeah. There is always room for cello, but it's true. But yeah, no, I mean, the people I've worked with forever, like him and Sal, or, you know, like, there's people that I rely on. And then I'm in Nashville, and so, you know, there's Emmy Lou Harris right around the corner, you know, that I sometimes make shrimp and grits for. And so a few people will come, you know, will show up on an album for me that have a sort of a starring role, obviously.
Well, and Bob is on this next one we're going to hear. And your daughter Ray is on this one, too. David Brewer. And you've got Mike Meadows playing percussion. And David Brewer, he shows up playing penny whistle on some of your Celtic stuff.
Yeah, David Brewer just played a big show at the Santa Rosa Chapel. That I don't know what they call the Carol knows, I think, but It's a thing. Bryn Albanese maybe has something to do with it.
She's doing, Cambria Concerts Unplugged.
That's it.
It's a really nice series.
Unplugged. And so David Brewer is a teacher at a Celtic camp in Santa Cruz that my daughter Ray went to, like, for maybe, 8 or 9 years in a row. And I went up there. My husband and I used to go up there and see the concert at the end of the thing, you know. And I saw this guy. You know, he's like a...
He's like an elf.
Yes. I mean, is that okay to say? He is like elfin and in magical. His spirit is just... he's just quite an exuberant character.
Yeah.
And I was so taken with him that at some point I just, you know, I said... Be playing my record, my new record, you know, and he was like, sure. So I had him, you know, send me, you know, I sent him the tracks like you do sometimes. I live in Nashville. Obviously, he lives in Santa Cruz. And he sent me back these beautiful tracks. And yeah, he's a marvelous player.
Yeah.
And so there, he's a California guy. And then he's playing with the other people on the tracks is, you know, Nashville, me, and, you know, there's a probably pedal steel. That's my Holland pedal steel player that sent me a track from from Holland. And then there we are all together. It's neat.
Well, let's listen to this next one. It was one of your Celtic songs. It's called My Heart Belongs to You. And now this is from Jude Johnstone's album Living Room on KCBX.
I saw the light above your door, up there on Granada Street. Forever then, forevermore, you held the lock, I turned the key. These dreams can I did before. bet it all I'd play for keeps.
I tell you, that one, Jude, just gets the Celtic in me, too.
Yeah, I love those the penny whistles and stuff, man. I'm just a sucker for that stuff.
Yeah, that's just beautiful. You're listening to The Road Home on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio, and got a special guest in the studio tonight. It's Jude Johnstone, and she's got a concert this coming Saturday at 7 at Painted Sky Studios in Cambria with Bob and Wendy coming along for the ride as well. That came from Jude's album Living Room. That's your latest, right?
It is, and I think it's about, well, it was just 4 months or so before the pandemic, and so it's kind of strange, you know. You might be one of the only people that actually has it. You know, it was under the radar because, you know, everything changed, and so it didn't get out to all of my European places, you know, like that it would have, and like that. So it's just, you know, it's got some beautiful songs on it, and I still love it. But I have another record I'd love to make right now. I'm just not in the position financially to be able to pull it off. So it's sitting there, though.
Yeah. What does it take? Tell us what it takes.
Not much. Wouldn't take much. You know, I could probably do it for $10,000. I just don't have it.
Well, we should have one of those fundraiser things.
I know. I tried that once, but nothing happened, and so I had to pull it really quick out of embarrassment. But I don't know really how to do that stuff that my friends do. But anyway,
you should have one of your daughters do that for you.
Maybe so.
Well, this album, Living Room, I really love it, and I love the quote on it. The quote is from Emmy Lou Harris.
Yeah.
Tell us how this was inspired, the title of your album.
I know Emmy, and also like her hairdresser's a friend of mine, her makeup person, and then a lot of people around her are friends of mine. And so when I was talking about the fact that I couldn't afford to make this record, and so I was going to ask this engineer friend of mine to just bring the studio to my living room so I wouldn't have to go to a studio. I still had to pay the engineer, but he literally brought everything to my place. And anyway, that was the discussion. And then one of my friends said, "That's funny you should say living room." You know, there was this, I heard an interview with Emmy one time some years ago, where she said those words about the living room, and he told me what the particular interview was, and I went and looked at it, and I just pulled it up on YouTube, and there it was, and she's saying this, and I just loved what she said, and I thought, that's exactly what I'm trying to do here. So I just put it on the back.
Yeah, it says, "In the making of records, I think over the years we've all gotten a little too technical, a little too hung up on getting things perfect, and we've lost the living room."
Yeah, so it seemed like the right thing.
Yeah.
She didn't say anything, you know. I took some shrimp and grits over to the house, and when I had given her that record, and I was curious if she'd sort of have anything to say, like if she turned it over, if she'd say anything like, you know, "That's interesting, you would use a quotation from me," or, you know, but she never said a word, so I didn't know if she was offended by it or not. I really didn't. I still don't know.
Well, you know, you did credit her there. You put it in quotes, and you. You know, I was wondering, there are some songs on your albums that are collaborations. Most of them are out and out, you know, lyrics and music by you. Some of them, music is by you, lyrics are by others, or music is by you and lyrics are by you and somebody else. When you write the whole song yourself, do you find that the melody comes first or the lyrics, or does it vary? How does that work for you?
Yeah, usually music is just in my head, you know. So if I've got something, usually it only something starts running through my head if there's a theme, an idea, maybe, you know, a title almost, like something interests me. You know, something comes up that I'm interested in saying or talking about. Somebody says something or an idea just floats into my head, and then the music for that idea comes and I start to play something. The lyrics are much after that, but there's usually an idea that's a lyrical idea, mm-hmm. and also music, and the music just sort of writes itself. I just kind of like shape it a little, but the music comes from some other place that I don't know anything about. The lyrics are the thing that I actually write.
Somebody who is sung a fair number of your songs is Trisha Yearwood. And so I was just wondering, how did you originally manage to get your songs in front of people like Trisha Yearwood and Johnny Cash and Bonnie Raitt and Emmylou Harris?
Well, each story is different. And I'll tell you right here and now that, you know, I do a podcast that's called Book of Jude, and it's on all the podcast stations and Spotify and Apple and Google and everybody. And Book of Jude, I do it with my daughter, Ray Duncan. And Ray is my interviewer, and it's really something. And we tell all those stories. So, you know, we have no script or anything, but Ray says, I would just go over to her place. We do it in her closet. And then I do all the editing and adding the music in my closet at my house. And so I would just say, like, let's talk about Trisha Yearwood and Emmylou Harris today. That's all. Mm-hmm. And then so she just start by saying, so how did you first get a song to Trisha Yearwood and how did that happen? Because each of the artists is like entirely different stories. And a lot of them are really funny. They're really interesting, and they make a whole episode by themselves. Like when I told you when I took the tape to Bonnie.
Yes.
You know, 5-hour train ride. The things that you have to do to get people to do your songs. You know, I didn't, you know, fly a helicopter out on Johnny Cash's lawn like Kris Kristofferson did, but I did my share of, you know, things. Mm-hmm. And so in Trisha's case, that was in very early on. I was still just a kid in Hollywood, and I'd never written a country song. I don't write country music. I still don't. But I had written this song that I felt was a country song. And my husband was from Bakersfield, Ray's dad. And so he knew a thing or two about what that might sound like. And so I said, I think I've written a country song. And he said, like, I really doubt it. Let me hear it. And I played it. And he said, by God, that is a country song. And I said, what do I do with it? Who do I send it to? And so my manager knew, like somebody that knew Don Williams. You know what I mean? It was like that ridiculous. He was like, I think, you know, I could send it to in Nashville. None of us knew anyone in Nashville. So my manager said, like, I think I know Don Williams, like road manager. You know, maybe I'll get it to him or something. And anyway, it ended up in the office of Trisha Yearwood's producer, Garth Fundis. And his sort of the guy that ran his studio, Scott Paschal, was the guy that was in charge of like the heap of tapes that would be flooding in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for some unknown reason, he happened to listen to this song I sent, and he gave it to Garth Fundis. Trisha Yearwood was unknown. She had no records yet because this was long before she was signed. And so I got this call from Garth Fundis, and he said, we really like this song, and we've got this girl that we're pretty excited about, and she's doing a big showcase for the record companies at Douglas Corner in Nashville, and there's like four or five companies coming. There's like a little bidding war happening. You know, we think she's going to be signed, and we'd like to play your song as part of the thing. And I said, like, please play my song. I don't even know anybody there except you. And so he did. And like, sort of unlike Hollywood, you know, which takes forever, like 2 days later, he calls me and he goes, she's signed with MCA Records and we would like to secure the song for the debut album. And I said, wonderful. And it was the fourth, she started out with She's in Love with the Boy, and it was the fourth and final single from the album, The Woman Before Me. Mm-hmm. And it was a tremendous hit, and that bought me my house in Cambria. And so the second album, the sophomore album, I had the title cut for, which is called Hearts in Armor, which she sung as a duet with Don Henley, which led me to be friends with Don Henley, and all kinds of things happened between me and Don from there, all because of Trisha Yearwood.
Oh, man. Well, let's listen to Hearts in Armor now from Trisha Yearwood's album, Hearts in Armor. This is the title track by Jude Johnstone on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, right here on the road home.
In armor, though I meant to let you in an effort not to harm it, I have missed my chance again. One more day. hearts in armor. Though I did not see it then, I would finish what you started if I had that chance again.
Hearts in Armor. Trisha Yearwood, Don Henley singing a song by Jude Johnstone, who's sitting here in the studio at KCBX and who has a concert coming up this Saturday, 7 o'clock at Painted Sky Studios in Cambria. You can get tickets at paintedskystudios.com. Bob and Wendy will be there playing as well. What do you feel like when you hear that song, just sitting here in the studio listening to
it's, you know, it's a flood of memories, obviously. Yeah. When that happened, when Trisha called me and left me a message on my machine back when we had machines and said some silly message like, I got a friend to sing Hearts in Armor with me on the new album. I don't know. You might have heard of him. Don Henley. Yeah. You know. And then I heard it and I saw them perform it after the record, you know, came out. I saw them perform it at the Roxy, and that was when I met Don. And that night, and I was sitting directly in front of them. They were looking down and singing it to me. And it was quite... It was a real surreal thing. And then afterward, I said to Don, you know, I'm Jude Johnstone. I wrote that Hearts and Armor song you did. And he said, oh, you wrote that. Oh, wow, I love that song. And I said, because I the insane person that I am, I said, I have more songs for you, Don. And he was like really taken aback. He went... Okay. Send them to this address or whatever, and then a relationship ensued. We did some amazing work together that made me some money, and formed a relationship. I even played him a song of a friend of mine that he did. Because I knew he would record it. He did. He made a video of it. He put it on his greatest hits album and made my friend a fortune. And so it was just like, you know, because of Trisha, all this stuff happened between me and Don. And my whole life has been that way. The career thing has just always been this domino effect, as you mentioned earlier, that, people just, one thing leads to another.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the way it's always been.
Oh. Well, Jude, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me tonight.
Thanks for asking me.
Chatting.
It's fun to talk to you for the first time.
Yeah, this is lovely. This is lovely. Got one more song. We don't have time to really talk about it because
okay.
I want to fit it all in before the next show starts. Brad Kyle is up next with Across the Tracks. He's got Americana music for you until 10 o'clock tonight, and then it's Jazz Liner Notes with Fred Friedman. I'm Marisa Waddell, and this is The Road Home. And Jude Johnstone is going to be playing this coming Saturday, 7 o'clock at Painted Sky Studios. Bob and Wendy will be there, too. And I've got a pair of tickets to give away. If you would like to go see this concert in Cambria on Saturday, 7 o'clock, then be my fifth caller at 805-544-5229. That's 805-544-5229. Again, this concert is on Saturday, 7 o'clock, Painted Sky Studios. And we're going to wrap up with Jude Johnstone singing People Holding Hands from her album A Woman's Work on KCBX.
People holding hands make me feel blue. Everywhere I go, make me think of me and you. little corner of this sleepy little town. People holding hands are dragging me down. And this whole online dating thing has just got to stop. I'm just sitting here waiting, spinning like a top. On every little corner of every little town, people holding hands, you know they're dragging me down. Another hike with some online girl. Maybe you're both on your bikes. You can't believe all the things in my head. Well, I really should be going, but I'm stuck here instead. People holding hands in the middle of the day, clogging up the sidewalk, always standing in my way. And I'm just trying to get through this little town. People holding hands are dragging me down.
Dragging me down.